Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, December 4th, 2015. And back with me, not quite in the studio, but over the phone lines, thank you, God, for this technology, is my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo. Thank you for taking this call, Jason.
Hey, yep.
Glad to do it, huh?
Always glad to do it.
Hey, thank you for taking the earlier call, because I gave you a little synopsis or an overview on Wednesday's program when I emailed some people and said I got so caught up into the program, and 21 minutes later of constant talking, I failed to say, oh, Jason had been ministering and poured out and wasn't feeling 100%, and it was just simpler to give you the day off, if you will. And so I got to highlight a few minutes ago just some of the things that I said on Wednesday, and excited just to see the various ways God's at work in. And thank you for your prayer off air, as God would continue to lead and confirm and miraculously provide for this radio ministry, and continue to feed and embrace and encourage and bless the listeners that tune in. So thank you for your prayers and being available for today, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends.
Oh, you bet.
Now, we're going to jump into Acts. I think we're going to try to cover a little more of what we didn't cover the last time. Usually, at least, we get one verse done. I think we got a concept covered last time.
Yeah, I don't think that we covered a verse, but we're in chapter 20 and roughly around verse 18 and 19.
And before you go any further, let me make two announcements for our listeners, because these are things that are happening tomorrow and Sunday. So while people are finding their Bibles and turning to the book of Acts, let me point out that at Lincoln Square Mall, there's a holiday wonderland. In fact, on Wednesday night, I was there while they were finishing the touches of setting it up. It's like about 100 yards worth of Christmas villages with all like the snow and the icicles and little moving parts and the houses and the churches and the figurines. And I don't know, there's like 56 different lighted arrangements and 500 departments. I don't know. It's incredible. And so tomorrow, Saturday, December 5th, from like 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And I think it's open every day. It's in the old Brownfield Sports location at Lincoln Square Mall. So it's kind of in the, what you would call the east-west corridor, kind of near the middle of the mall and then to the east. But in Brownfield Sports, this is open. It's free. There's some activities for children, some interactive villages where they can play with, and there's snacks there. It's all free at Lincoln Square Mall, and I guess it begins tomorrow, 8 to 6 p.m., and then I'm looking at this flyer. It goes Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it goes all the way through Wednesday, the 23rd. Most days from 4 to 7 p.m. On the weekends, it's like 8 to 6 p.m. So Lincoln Square Mall, holiday wonderland. And then Sunday, the singing men of GNN dressed in their tuxedos. Hopefully all the guys after Thanksgiving can still fit into their tuxedos. I know I, for one, have to get some more racquetball in before I maybe sing on Sunday. But at 6 p.m. at the Victory Church in Camargo, we'll be gathering for a free concert. It'll be the first in our series of three Christmas presentations. The Victory Church is located at 103 South 2nd Street in Camargo, and will present at 6 p.m. And then a week from Sunday, December 13th, the Singing Men will be at the First Baptist Church in Rantoul. The Rantoul Ministerial Alliance, their association, is inviting us to come and present. That'll be free on the evening of December 13th at 6 p.m. And then the crowning achievement, I guess it'll be our 17th year in a row of presenting at Marketplace Mall. That'll be on Saturday, December 19th at noon, and that's when we'll feature the Great News Radio Theater Troupe for its first time. It'll be their debut, the Magi, and I think actually the Magi has three not skits, three segments, three acts, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then two individuals are going to do a special Mary and Elizabeth scene that'll be really powerful. So that'll be happening beginning at noon on the 19th. And I think you're going to be assisting with some evangelism, showing up at our table. I think you have some volunteers that are going to share the meaning of the season.
Yeah, we'll do some evangelism there. We'll just have some encouraging resources, Bibles available if anybody wants a Bible, really just to come and share and say, hey, you know what, we realize that Christmas is about presents and shopping and all these things, but we want to tell you that there's a bigger story behind Christmas, that there's a larger story, and that your story can become part of that story, you know, that there is something greater at work here, and you can buy all the presents you want, but you're never going to get to the heart of what it is that you're truly seeking in this season unless you know about Jesus Christ. And so we just feel that it's so important. And I think that it's, what a great setting. People are going to be there shopping. They're coming in and they're probably already going to be, I think their heart's disarmed a little bit because they're going to hear the singing of the singing men. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll stop and see the theater troupe doing that and it'll somehow touch them. You never know how the sounds and the sights and those things touch people. And it's in that moment when Christ might say, you know, I'm going to reveal myself to this person right now. And so we just want to be there. You know, we may not hand out any Bibles. We may hand out a bunch of Bibles, but we just want to be there and available in case God does something in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be there and just be obedient to share the gospel and to be able to say, this is who Jesus Christ is. This is how you can accept him as your Lord and Savior. And we're willing to walk along with you through that and after that. And what does it look like? So
Great News Radio listeners, I would covet, appreciate, and request your prayers, especially December 19th. It's one of our favorite concerts the whole year because so many people are in that food court, sometimes upwards 1,000 people. And with the theater troops, it's their debut. And they're going to be dressed up and in costumes, so it should be very exciting. So get there early. Many times it seems like it snows on that day, but there's lots of parking. That's Saturday, December 19th at Marketplace Mall in Champaign, North Neal Street. We'll begin at noon, and it'll probably, with the theater troupe and the presentations, probably 12 to 1:30-ish, somewhere right around there, about an hour and a half. And we'll have a display set up, and it'll be just a great time to gather. And maybe you have an international friend or some neighbors that are around, and you want to introduce them to the singing men or to the radio ministry. That would be a great day to come on out, and it's all free. So right in the food court, so you can come early, get lunch, get seated and settled, and you'll be blessed. Well, I'm blessed by the book of Acts, Jason, as we've walked through this for almost 2 years now.
I'm always blessed by the book of Acts. I'm always blessed by the Bible in general and then how it runs itself through there. But to the book of Acts, particularly in chapter 20, beginning about verse 18, and it says, when they came to him, now these people coming to him, the him is Paul, and the people coming to him are the Ephesian elders. And as Paul says to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews.
Hmm.
What's interesting about the 20th chapter, and particularly the speech mark for what Paul tells the Ephesian elders, is this encapsulates almost everything that Paul will write in all the other epistle letters.
Hmm.
This encapsulates who Paul is. The commentators say that if you read this speech or this, you know, moment that he shares with the elders, this is Paul. This is Paul at his heart. This is who he is. He even shows this humility amongst these men because Paul would be considered a rock star. I mean, Paul would be considered a great preacher. And everybody else with Paul would be considered lesser men.
Hmm.
Now, that's not lesser men in God's eyes, but that's lesser men maybe from our own human standpoint.
It'd be like Billy Graham being around and we're like, that's Billy Graham.
Right. Well, and it would be like Billy Graham comes into a meeting with you and I and say another guy and he begins to tell us some of the deepest kind of heartfelt things, because let's just be honest, when we talk about church and we talk about ministry, sometimes the hardest things for us to do is really to have these kind of heart level conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we don't want to admit that we're not perfect. We don't want to admit that sometimes our faith is challenged. We don't want to admit that sometimes we struggle and sometimes we suffer. Even though we all do, and the Bible tells us that we will, and even though Jesus tells us there will be trouble. He even tells Eagle so far to say, don't worry about the trouble in tomorrow, because today there's enough already.
Yeah, yeah.
So we know these things. The Bible knows these things, but we don't always want to understand them. One of the things that I was talking about in, I think it was a sermon I gave last weekend, I said that when the Bible gives you an exhortation, usually it's correcting something.
Hmm.
So if the Bible is calling you to greater faith in a situation, that's because the Bible knows that you won't have greater faith in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
God is trying to call us to something that he knows is counter to who we are and what we will naturally do in that situation. And so a lot of the times when the Bible's telling us to do something, it's because everything in our humanity wants to do the opposite. And so it's the opposite for us to kind of get around people and have this heart-level kind of conversation, unless we're at the very bottom, bouncing and broken.
Hmm.
But usually when we're trying to float above water, we generally don't get really real with people. And here Paul, who would be considered, again, the Billy Graham, we could use that metaphor or that analogy, the Billy Graham of his day, is with these Ephesian elders, and he's real. He is real in a way that is absolutely amazing. It encapsulates who Paul is. Because when Paul says this, when he says in verse 18, "You know how I lived amongst you the whole time from the first day I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and tears." The minute Paul says there, "with all humility," he loses his humility card.
Mm-hmm.
Because humility is a quiet kind of faith, a quiet steadfastness. Here Paul's not being quiet in his steadfastness. He's telling them, I'm humble.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that he's doing this, it retains the strength of his humility.
Mm-hmm.
Because of who Paul is. Paul is actually demonstrating great humility by saying this to them, because he doesn't have to say it. It's already assumed that he's wonderful. It's already assumed that he's humble. It's already assumed that he's faithful. It's already assumed. I mean, I think about in the Bible when Paul says, "of the sinners, I'm chief." I have to think that when he said that, the room went silent.
Hmm.
Because they would have been like, "Whoa, wait, you? You walk on water. You probably never stop praying.
Hmm.
You probably read your Bible all day long." And Paul might say to you, and this is conjecture because the Bible doesn't say this, but I'm going to reach him because Paul's human, is it that Paul may have wanted to read his Bible, but sometimes just sat and daydreamed. Maybe said, "You know what, I really want to read my Bible, but I'm kind of tired. I just want to take a nap."
Hmm.
You know, because he was human, just like all of us. The Bible says that the great people in the Bible say they struggled with things like us. Elijah was a man like us. Elijah, who slew the prophets of Baal and called down fire from heaven, was a man just like me.
Mm-hmm.
And dealt with the same struggles that I deal with. And so Paul says, "Here, I serve the Lord with all humility and with tears." That means he gave everything he had.
And the fact that he's saying tears also implies that ministry is not always easy.
No, not at all. In fact, what's interesting is earlier we find that Paul's time in Ephesus is written by Luke. In the beginning of Ephesus, Paul's time in Ephesus, we see kind of the first person take over. So Luke is now not writing from a distance. Luke is there. And Luke isn't providing all of the details. He isn't providing the nitty-gritty, gory kind of toughness of what it was to minister in Ephesus. But Paul says here, because Paul says that there were tears and trials.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere in Luke's account earlier does Luke say, "and Paul was weeping."
Mm-hmm.
But here Paul says, I was at tears at points. This was so difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said of the plots of the Jews. But then he says this, "even though there were tears and there were trials," in verse 20, "I did not shrink back from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house." Paul says, I didn't stop doing the thing I was called to do. I love in Peter where it says to be eager in your calling,
mm-hmm.
to be resolute in your calling. And that's what Paul was. Paul was eager and Paul was resolute. And even though there were tears and there were trials, Paul pressed in to do the very thing that God had called him to do. As a pastor, I feel what Paul is saying here. I feel that, and I think that you do too, Mark, because you've got Singing Men, you've got ministries that happen beneath the umbrella of Great News Radio. And there are days where there are tears and there are days where there are trials and there are days where you don't want to go house to house, but you do it because you love the Lord. And you know that that's what he would have you do. And those are the days when you have to say, "Lord, I'm in your strength, not my own. I'm in your grace, not my own. I am moving under your power, your spirit, not my own." And that's what Paul was doing, because it was probably hard. And yet Paul doesn't shrink back from the calling that God has placed upon him. Maybe that's a word for somebody today. Don't shrink back from the calling that you've been given by the Lord. I love in the book of Hebrews, one of my favorite verses in the book of Hebrews, At the end of the 10th chapter in the 39th verse, it says, "But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved." You see, Paul believed that his salvation was a power that was greater than all the trials that Paul faced. And therefore, he didn't shrink back because, you know what? It would be worse to shrink back from the calling of God than it would to endure the trials in the calling of God. So Paul didn't shrink back.
Yeah, that's why I think that important part about the tears, sometimes maybe people are under the illusion that if you're following God, everything just works out. We sing Kumbaya all day long and hold hands, and it's wonderful. And oftentimes it's hard work, it's frustrating, it's difficult, and you can maybe even want to give up, but don't.
Yeah. Listen, we're going to put a table up at Marketplace Mall to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when I read this verse here, I feel like that is not even enough, because what does Paul say here? He made house calls, house to house. He went house to house testifying. It says testifying in verse 21, which means a lawyer-like kind of argument. He's plying himself. This wasn't just knocking on the door and handing a tract to somebody and saying, "Have you heard about Jesus?" And then the door gets slammed in your face and you're done. This is inviting yourself in and sitting down on the couch and beginning a long discussion with somebody in their home about who Jesus Christ is and why he is the only way, the truth, and the life. And Paul testifies to this fact, and he does it. He's making house calls. Doctors don't even make house calls nowadays. Here's an evangelist who's making house calls. Why? Because he's meeting people where they live. And it says he's indiscriminate here. He meets Jews and Greeks, and testifying to them of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I love how it says our Lord Jesus Christ, because it's our God. Our God. Paul didn't see this as his God. He didn't see this as his church, his God, his ministry. He saw this as God's ministry, our God, our church, our salvation. He saw this in a greater sense, as needing to include the family of God. Sometimes I think that we get it in our mind that it's our church, it's my ministry, it's my this, it's my that, and it's not. We're all sharing and partaking. In Ephesians, it says that we are being built together into a house with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. Not separately. There's not one, no one brick makes a house, but we're being built together into a house that glorifies the Lord. And therefore, that house that we come to worship at, say, on the weekends or during the week, that place that we call our home church, is ours. It's not mine. And ultimately, it's his to do with as he pleases. And so it says here, and now in verse 22, "Behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit. Behold, aha, I'm going to Jerusalem." This is a real foreshadowing of Christ, because what does it say in the early chapters of, say, Mark and Luke and John and Matthew? The disciples tell Jesus over and over again, "Let's stay. Come on, look at all the people. We've got a mega ministry going on. Let's plant the church." And Jesus says, "No, we must go to the next town." And then the Bible says he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Jesus always knew where he was going. Jesus always knew what was coming. When Jesus was in the garden and he was saying, "Father, if this your will, take this cup from me," it wasn't because that sounded metaphorically wonderful at the moment, poetically beautiful to say, "Take this cup." He knew, Jesus knew that the cup of wrath that had been talked about in the Bible, somebody was going to drink that, or that God was going to pour that out upon the nations. And Jesus was the only one in Isaiah 9, it says, whose shoulders were fit to carry that burden, who is fit to take upon himself the sins of the world. So Jesus always knows what's coming. Jesus always knows that Jerusalem is on the horizon. I think I said at church this last weekend that you cannot think about the incarnation without thinking about the crucifixion, because always just behind the manger was always the cross. God didn't say to the Holy Spirit, "And what do you think we're going to do? We got him down there. Now what do we do?" No. It was always there. We know from reading Isaiah 53, we know from reading the prophetic writings, that this was always on the horizon. This was God's plan, that Jesus Christ was going to crush the serpent's head. And so this was always there. And so this is a foreshadowing of that. Paul says, "Behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there." Paul, unlike, gee, he doesn't know what's going to happen there, but he probably knows it's not going to go well.
Now, your word is constrained. Mine is compelled. So set our minds on what exactly is happening there, constrained or compelled by the Spirit.
He's listening to the Holy Spirit, and he hears the Holy Spirit keep saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He knows without a doubt that's where he has to go. He has prayed. He has journaled, probably has checked it out. He knows that that's where he's supposed to go. He can feel in his every fiber that that's where God wants him to go. And this is how I know that he's tested it, because it says in the next verse, except that the Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and affliction await me. Hmm. And so he knows what's coming. He knows that imprisonment and affliction are going to be coming. And yet he's still going. This is a man who's moving again by faith, because everything in our fiber and everything in our bone would tell us to go the other direction when we know that.
Hmm.
I mean, this is a moment where he's really tested, stepping out and heading toward Jerusalem, because he knows what's going to happen. Hmm. I mean, if I told you, Mark, well, I need you to run to Champaign, affliction and imprisonment await you there. I think I'm staying home today.
I think I need to go to Mansfield. I'm going the other way.
but here's the reason. Here's the difference between Paul and maybe us sometimes. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only that I may finish my course and the ministry I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I mean, what if that was your mission? I mean, what if we got up every day and we said, my life doesn't matter unless it's poured out into the life of somebody else through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I might glorify him and run the race well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine if that's our mission every day. If that's underneath all the things that we have to do, you know, going to the store and going wherever the things we need to do, but always that is in the forefront. That's our mission. I think that if that's your mission, Mark, you can stand up against affliction and imprisonment and all kinds of other things. That's why Paul can say, I live not of this world, because the things of this world, though they might impact him, they don't affect him, because he's always looking to his real home. He's always looking to his true home, not this home. This place is broken. You know, I'm always shocked because, you know, people will say to me, did you see the news story? Or they'll tell me this. So they'll say, this was the world's hell. And I'll say, of course. Ever since Genesis chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's been going to hell ever since then. I mean, we shouldn't be shocked by the fallenness of the world. I mean, somebody said to me the other day, I can't believe what just happened. I said, have you ever read Romans 1? It gets worse.
Yeah.
It gets worse. And we're not even to Revelation. We're in Romans 1. We're not even to Revelation yet, when it's blood up to a horse's bridle.
Yeah.
And so let's understand that the Bible has not, like, you know, the shootings, the unfortunate shootings that happened in California the other day. God wasn't surprised by that.
Yeah.
That didn't happen, and he went, oh, my gosh, did I fall asleep? He knows. He was aware. He was attentive. In fact, I saw a news article today that said God won't fix it. I think it was on the Daily Mail. And around it, it had pictures of different notable people who, and their caption said, pray for these people, pray for these. And the article was essentially saying, you can pray all you want, but obviously God doesn't want to fix it. And when I read that to myself, I said, Mark, what we're missing is an understanding of the wrath of God. That sometimes there are things that are incredibly difficult that we have to go through because God is refining us for a greater day.
Yeah.
And therefore, maybe those things didn't catch God by surprise because he knew they were going to happen. In fact, the hardest thing for us maybe to understand is that he allowed them to happen. Because for our discipline and for our refinement, Hebrews 12 says that though it seems unpleasant and though it seems difficult and hard now, that it's been done that we might bear good fruit, that we might straighten our weakened knees and lift our drooping arms, that we might worship God. God is not interested in our happiness. He is interested in our holiness, and he is interested in us worshiping him.
And he has that eternal perspective and sees the end from the beginning and knows all that is comprised in that situation, the fruit that will be born and so forth. So we have to just trust in his plan, his sovereign will, his sovereignty over all things, even the things that we don't understand. We have to just lay it at his feet.
Right. Right, and that's exactly what Paul did. That's how he faced the affliction and the imprisonment. And maybe today for you as a listener, you're struggling with things you read in the paper. You're struggling with things that you see on the news. You're struggling with, you're subtly being imprisoned by those things. You're subtly being afflicted by those things. Understand that God is sovereign and he is in charge. And that there is a greater day that is coming. And today we're preparing ourselves for that day. So I would just maybe gently prod you to pray a little more, to read your Bible a little more, to get to a Bible-believing church where you can understand all that's been done on your behalf through the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, listening friend, I hope you're really pausing during this busy season when everyone's racing to and fro, purchasing gifts and attending various parties or celebrations or office things, and really will allow Christ to manifest himself in your heart, in your mind, in your experience. And as Jason mentioned, this Sunday, be in a good Bible-believing church, proclaim the good news message of the gospel, and just celebrate that God does have a specific plan for your very life, even this day, this hour, these few minutes, as you tune in, as you hear great Christmas music, as you're mindful of him. And we would just pray that you would take to heart that he loves you, and the season is all about his love demonstrated in his coming and then in his life and his death and his resurrection and his pending return. And all of God's people said, amen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and weekend.